Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Sex Offender Registration Act and Applicability to Pre-Act Offenders Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 23, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Reynolds v. United States. The question in this case concerned whether the Sex Offender Registration and Notification Act, or SORNA, requires an offender who was convicted before the passage of SORNA to register thereunder, even though the legislation appears to leave that determination to the Attorney General. A lower court determined that SORNA itself requires pre-SORNA offenders to register, even if the Attorney General has not yet deemed that requirement applicable to them. In an opinion delivered by Justice Breyer, the Supreme Court reversed the lower court's decision and remanded the case for further proceedings. By a vote of 7-2, the court held that SORNA's registration requirements, properly interpreted, do not apply to pre-SORNA offenders until the Attorney General so specifies. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Ginsburg. To discuss the case, we have Michael DeBoe, who is a professor at the Samford University Cumberland School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor DeBoe.
Good to be with you. The Supreme Court's decision in Reynolds v. United States resolved a question of statutory construction concerning the Federal Sex Offender Registration and Notification Act, sometimes referred to by the acronym SORNA, but I'll simply refer to the Act for our purposes here today. Reynolds involves the question of the Act's applicability to sex offenders who were convicted prior to the effective date of the Act. Specifically, does the Act, by its own terms, subject pre-Act sex offenders to its requirements, or does the Act delegate to the Attorney General of the United States the responsibility for, quote, specifying the applicability, close quote, of the Act to such individuals? The U.S. government and the Third Circuit read the Act to apply to pre-Act sex offenders, regardless of whether the Attorney General had taken any action under the Act so to provide. The Supreme Court, on a vote of 7-2, reversed the Third Circuit and resolved a 6-5 circuit split on the question. The case is remanded for further proceedings to consider the petitioner's attack on the Attorney General's actions, an attack based on the non-delegation doctrine and the Administrative Procedure Act's good cause exception in formal rulemaking. The majority opinion in Reynolds was written by Justice Breyer, the dissent by Justice Scalia, joined by Justice Ginsburg. Thus, this case is yet another verbal duel between the two justices who are most identified with the issue of proper statutory construction, and their opinions here do not disappoint. Before we consider the opinions in Reynolds, a brief factual review might be helpful. Petitioner Reynolds was convicted of a sex crime under Missouri law in 2001 and was imprisoned from 2001 to 2005. Upon release, he registered as a sex offender pursuant to Missouri's registration requirements. While Reynolds was living in Missouri, the federal act became law in July 2006, and on February 28, 2007, the Attorney General promulgated an interim rule specifying that the requirements of the act, quote, apply to all sex offenders, including sex offenders convicted prior to the enactment of the act, close quote. Later, in the fall of 2007, Reynolds moved to Pennsylvania but failed to register as a sex offender there. He also failed to notify Missouri of his move. He thus violated the laws of both states, and in addition, he was indicted by a federal grand jury in the Western District of Pennsylvania for violation of the Federal Act. Reynolds moves to dismiss his indictment, arguing that the Attorney General's interim rule ran afoul of the non-delegation and APA problems I noted earlier. Accordingly, Reynolds argued that his case should be decided under federal law as it existed prior to the passage of the 2006 Act. The District Court rejected Reynolds' arguments on the merits, but the Third Circuit refused to consider the merits of Reynolds' attack on the interim rule, reasoning that the act applied to him by its own terms. Justice Breyer's majority opinion rejects the Third Circuit's conclusion. He reads the statute as containing four relevant passages. The first is that, quote, a sex offender shall register and keep the registration current. The second is that a sex offender must register initially before completing his, quote, sentence of imprisonment, close quote. The third is that a sex offender must update his registration within 3 days of any change of name, residence, employment, or student status. And finally, and most importantly, the fourth statement is that, quote, the Attorney General shall have the authority to specify the applicability of the requirements of this subchapter to sex offenders convicted before the enactment, close quote, of this act. Immediately after providing this taxonomy of the act, Justice Breyer invokes the rule of statutory construction that privileges specific statutory language over more general language. He makes the case that, quote, read naturally, the fourth statement, the one regarding the Attorney General's authority, modifies the first. It specifically deals with a subset, pre-act offenders, of a broad general class, all sex offenders, to which the first statement applies, and it therefore should control the act's application to that subset, close quote. Further, Justice Breyer reasons that the Fourth Amendment, quote, is more naturally read as conferring the authority to apply the act, not the authority to make exceptions, close quote. For his part, Justice Scalia does not agree that this is the more natural reading of the act. Rather, he argues that the fourth statement, the one regarding the power of the Attorney General, quote, is best understood as conferring on the Attorney General an authority to make exceptions to the otherwise applicable registration requirements, close quote. This, thinks Justice Scalia, is the more natural reading. Beyond this text-based wrangling, both sides deploy a range of arguments familiar to students of statutory interpretation. Justice Breyer claims to have discerned plausible congressional intent as to implementation of the act, and also argues that his opinion is, quote, consistent with background principles of criminal law, close quote, and with the canon of strict construction of criminal statutes. Justice Scalia argues that his reading is more in sync with Congress's use of different language elsewhere in the same act, and that his reading avoids the serious constitutional issue raised by the majority's opinion. Whichever side here strikes the reader as the more persuasive, the majority's decision in Reynolds that, as Justice Scalia puts it, the act, quote, does not apply to pre-act offenders unless and until the Attorney General in his discretion says so, close quote, certainly tees up a fascinating constitutional case on remand.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.